Good morning. We have our African beautiful doxology that says, God is good. Let's do it again. God is good. All the time. One more time. God is good. All the time. Amen. Indeed, he is good. There is a folk story in Ethiopia that talks about a skinny cow that was eating dry grass, dead grass. And out of the blue, a big bull came straight to this skinny cow and attacked it. And actually, it tossed it with its mighty horn. The skinny cow flew like a bird in the air. When it landed, however, it landed in a fenced green pasture. It landed in a great, in the middle of great harvest. And she cannot help enjoying and actually even opening some doors through the fences for other skinny cows. It must be in Liberia, right? People are laughing now here. So the Apostle Paul, due to severe persecution, pushed out of Thessalonica and Berea, and he landed at a place called Athens, Greek. It wasn't by his own design, but persecution moved him to a place called one of the wonderful, beautiful mission fields called Athens, Greek. He found actually himself in Athens and bombarded with many idols. And he was so much distressed now, not only just with the persecution he faced, but what he was entering into, many idols. And I think that is not strange for us now to observe those many idols around us. He was moved by the Spirit of God out of that desperate and also zealous, passionate love for the love of Jesus for his people. He went to the synagogues and marketplaces day by day. Missionaries going to the mission field day by day and conversing, arguing, reasoning with the people of Athens. And he told them about this amazing, loving God. And he told them that God created a special, unique place for you in his heart. You are part of God's heart. You are his offspring, his children. He has a special room for you. We live in him. We move in him. We live, move, and have our being in him. You have a special place in his kingdom. For the Gentiles, especially those resistant, intellectually and religiously resistant Greeks, to hear that they have a space in God's generous heart was so sweet, so powerful. He shared the gospel with them and even telling them that God has done everything to protect your special place in his kingdom, in his heart. You're protected by one of the mightiest and powerful event in the history of the universe, the resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is risen, brothers and sisters. He is risen, hallelujah. That is a game-changing plan of God that changes everything and settles everything, especially in the midst of all these bombarding but dead idols. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is risen. He is alive and he resides in you. And he provided his church with this amazing, powerful gift, the gift of eternal life, the gift of resurrection. You are protected. That fellowship, that intimate fellowship between God and you is completely protected, governed by God himself, as he made it evident in the resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. What a message. And they wanted to hear preaching about this strange but amazing gospel. And actually, some resistant intellectuals ended up being the followers of Jesus because of this powerful proclamation of the gospel. Methuselah in the Bible, one of the longest lived human being, asked once, how do you overcome? How do you silence all your adversaries? You know the answer he gave? He says, I overcome and silence all my adversaries by outliving them. By outliving them. Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. Amen. He is the eternal God in whom we can trust eternally. He outlives everybody. He outlives everything. We had a beautiful, interesting election a few weeks or months back. I can tell you one thing. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, and today, and forever. His gospel is eternal. We can rely on him. He outlives everything, sometimes even religious structures like those idols. He lives in us, and he continues to do that in our life. The context here challenges us sometimes to get distressed and passionate about what's going on in the world, in the United States of America. I came for school here and ended up going to Las Vegas, and I observed many idols. My goodness, we are facing same resistant culture to the gospel. Only 4% millennials, 4% millennials are Bible-believing in the United States of America. 1, 2, 3, 4. It is so concerning. It is so depressing, as the apostle was distressed. It distresses. That's one of the motivating factors for these missionaries to stay here with us and help us by the grace of God and work together in this amazing, great mission field. 4% millennials are Bible-believing, according to various resources. And about 4,000 churches in the United States of America close their ministries every year. 4,000. As a district mission leader, one of the tasks I don't want to engage would be to do a liturgy on a church that is closing its ministry, and I cannot even do what that kind of liturgy. Do you guys teach that kind of liturgy here? It's hard for me even to learn. How do you close the door of the gospel and tell people, we no more preach the gospel here? Oh my goodness, that's very painful. Painful. The context challenges us to be again ignited by the love of Christ, touched by his love, and hit the streets for Jesus. Bond with everyone, learn from them, listen to them, reason out with them if necessary, but proclaim the sweet and powerful gospel that Jesus Christ is a loving and living God in our world. Brothers and sisters, the good news for us always is God still loves his people. He forgives sins. He provides special room for you, whether you come from Ethiopia or Liberia or Russia or even the United States of America. God has amazing heart, place, space for you. As one of the translators called the Message, that Bible version put it, the Apostle Paul actually told the church in Colossae, the Colossians, he told them that God is so spacious. Jesus is so roomy that every living creature will have its proper place in God without conflict, without any problem. Everybody will have and will get their own space in God's heart, in God's space, in God's kingdom. That's what made all of us to be part of this amazing grace, an amazing gift. I was born in a religiously diverse family in Ethiopia, South Ethiopia. My father was a Muslim, and my mother was a Coptic Orthodox Christian. The Lutheran missionaries from Norway brought the gospel to my mom. She was in a hospital setting. They preached the gospel to her in the hospital. She loved the gospel. So she took me and my younger sister for baptism to the Lutheran Church of Ethiopia, Makane Jesus. My father wasn't happy, of course. As a Muslim, Lutherans are taking his kids away from him. So he came to the church to hinder my mom from letting us being baptized in the church. And the good thing was the timing was perfect. He got to the church when the pastor was preaching about the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all our sins. So he raised his hand. That was his first time to come to the church. He doesn't know, you know, the rituals. So he raised his hand and asked, "I am a Muslim, and what are you preaching about? The blood of Jesus, the free gift of forgiveness, the free gift of the love of God through Christ Jesus applies to everybody, including Muslims." For the first time, he heard the gospel that way. So before you know it, when the pastor was ready to baptize me and my younger sister, here my father comes and asks, "What is this?" And the pastor said, "This is the baptism I was talking about. Through this means you will be incorporated and you'll be part of the family of God." And they said, "Can I be baptized?" "Can I be baptized?" And the pastor was so excited. But on the other hand, he said, okay, you are an adult. We need to give you some instruction before we baptize you." So my father is very determined that day the Holy Spirit is working in his life. And he said, "Can you baptize me now and give me adult instruction later, please?" And the generous, gracious pastor did exactly what my father asked. He baptized him, followed by me and my younger sister. The family that came religiously divided like the West and East went back to their home, unified under the powerful blood and love of Jesus Christ. Glory be to his name. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Brothers and sisters, that is the love that push me and throw me and compelled me to cross how many oceans to come to the United States and share with you. Because for me, to be honest, my small village in South Ethiopia wasn't enough to share the love of Jesus. We claim the universe for Jesus, amen. We claim this country for Jesus. We claim everybody for Jesus. That's why I needed a global platform, and the Lord brought me here to share the gospel with a beautiful denomination called the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. Hallelujah. So, brothers and sisters, all of us here, God invites us today. He wants us to passionately engage with his love, Don't worry about those idols. Christ is risen, and we have the hope of eternal life and the message of the gospel. Let's not be ashamed of the gospel. Let's move on and hit the road for Jesus. God is good once more, all the time. All the time, God is good. Amen.